you all for being here tonight. We just trust that the Lord has something for all of us tonight. And I know as I look through some of this material that I've been truly blessed by going over it. So tonight we want to look together at the subject of faith and how limitless it is, and how unfathomable it is, and how we stifle it because we limit its boundaries in our lives. We also want to look a little bit at how much fear plays a big part in those limitations. Now, if you were at the craft night on Friday night, you will remember that the scripture verses that Graham read to us tonight were the ones that we had for the story time for the children. And I got so much from doing that study before Friday night that I decided to just upgrade it a little bit. And because the things that are in there that we shared with the children, they certainly pertain to us as well. As I said earlier, we stifle faith because we limited its boundaries in our lives, and that is truly the case with myself. So the message that you'll hear tonight is truly simple, and it goes only to the boundaries that I've set by the limitations that I have on myself. The definition of faith that we had on Friday night was as follows. Faith is believing God even when you don't understand what is happening. Now, our faith in God starts when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. In the verses tonight, in Mark's Gospel from chapter 4, we read 35 through 41, the disciples were scared in the storm. You know, these were just no ordinary sailors. These guys had been fishing and sailing that sea for all of their lives. So, and they had this fear in the storm. It was just no ordinary storm. They were really worried about what was going to happen to them. Now, the waves crashed over the boat, the verses tell us, till the boat was almost swamped. And yet, the Lord Jesus was still sleeping in the boat. And things got worse, and the disciples looked at each other, and the fear that they had showed on their faces, and they had forgotten the things that the Lord Jesus had taught them as his disciples. They'd been with him all this time, and yet when this situation arose, they reverted back to their old ways, and they were fearful. And they were really sure that they were all going to die, and they finally woke up the Lord Jesus, and he woke up and he looked around and he saw the situation and he saw the fear in the eyes of these disciples and rose from his sleep. And verse 39 says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. He said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Verse 40 says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You see, they had forgotten that it was the Lord Jesus that was in the boat there with them. And they had, all these doubts had come up, and their fear had taken over. And oftentimes we're like the disciples. You know, our faith is taken over by fear, and we think the Lord has left us, and all kinds of doubts come flooding over upon us, and the faith that we had takes a back seat. You know, just as the Lord Jesus had never left those disciples in the boat, and it's the same, he had never left us either. And he has promised that he would never leave us. So they had no need to be afraid, you know, and we have no need to be afraid either. Now, fear comes from Satan, not from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, And verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." My, what a tremendous contrast between those two statements we have in that verse. Satan attacks us with lies and fears, and God offers us power, and love, and a sound mind. Like we heard last Sunday morning from Mr. Esau, and also in the evening from Mr. Kempster, the awesome difference between darkness and light. The Lord Jesus offers us that light. Now the verse that we gave the children on Friday night, which is the one that's on their craft this past Friday night, the one that they have to learn through the week to say on Friday evening for the points for their punch cards, is Isaiah 41:10. Reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold up thee with my right hand of my righteousness." Now it's shortened a bit for the children, but that's the verse that they have this week. What a wonderful promise that is to us. Because he says, "Fear not, because I am with thee." Now the disciples in the boat were believing the lie. The fear had overcome them, and Satan had them believing the lie, and he had them thinking all kinds of consequences, that maybe the boat was going to break in half, and they were all going to go down with the ship, and they would all drown. You know, they were thinking about the things that they were thinking about right then was not reality. What they were doing was based on their own preconceptions rather than the actual things that were taking place. And Satan's a master at doing this in our lives. He can have us thinking all kinds of things. And you know, the facts that they had forgotten were this. Number one was that the Lord Jesus Christ was still with them. And number two was that he was still in control. And number three, that storm didn't stand a chance, because the Lord Jesus was there. So we have to learn how to discern truth from error. So important. You know, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. And that can only happen if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And then he is only limited to our inability to let him speak to us and show in our lives what he is willing to do for us. So we have this defense. And the defense that we have is right here. This is the only thing that we need, and it's the only defense that'll help us fight that battle with Satan. And everything in here that we need to wage that war, God has put in there for us, because he knew that it was going to be quite a war. So we have to watch that. If we're not saturated in that truth, then we become open to all kinds of error. And it'll just flood over. It's like the banker. We heard one Sunday night here, or one Sunday, about the banker teaching the tellers about handling money. There was a big problem with counterfeit money at the time. So they were training the tellers how to know when counterfeit bills come. So what he did was, he didn't concentrate on the counterfeit bills, he concentrated on real money. And he had all his tellers in the back, or wherever they do their training, and they had hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they counted that money day after day. And then when counterfeit bill was slipped in, they knew instantly that it was there. And so they were able to pick that out. And that's what we have to do. We have to concentrate on this, and as much as we can. And then when error comes, than we know. And the Holy Spirit will alert us at this error. But it can't happen unless we do our part and understand what God has for us through His Son in this Word. The enemy has one goal in mind, and it's the same now as it was in the Garden of Eden. He wanted there to convince us that the lie, the counterfeit, was actually the truth. And we know that He is the master at this, and we need to be assured that the power that the Lord assures us that we have is greater than the power that Satan has. Because in 1 John 4:4, part of that verse tells us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I tell myself that many times. I think that's really assuring to be able to say these verses. And there are lots of these verses in the Bible. The Lord knew that we were going to need all kinds of help if we were going to win that battle with Satan. And you know, it's like there was this beautiful piece of land and had a lake on it and lots of trees. And this man was keen to buy this property. And there was also oil underneath this land, which the man who was interested in buying it wasn't aware of. And he had a secret enemy, somebody that really hated him that he wasn't aware of. And this man knew that there was oil deposits under this land. And he did his very best to stop any sale towards this man. And he was successful at that for a long time. And then one day, the man who was interested in buying the property, just for its beauty, he happened to have an opportunity to speak to the real estate people. And he made a deal and he bought the land. The real estate weren't aware that he was really interested in getting that property. But when that opportunity came, he bought the land. And his secret enemy was furious. But there was nothing that he could do because the man now owned the land. So then all he could do was to run interference so that hopefully he would never find out about that awesome deposit that was down underneath that land, that piece of property that he had bought that he liked for its aesthetic value, not even having one clue of the vast financial gain that would be his underneath the ground. So this fellow had him talking, doing all kinds of things. They did community projects, and they built tennis courts, and they built a community hall on this property, and he did things for the community, and he kept them very, very busy. And so he felt that if he kept them occupied with the things on the surface, that he would never, ever get to know of the possibility of the riches that were underneath that ground. And then he tried all kinds of legal and environmental regulations and all sorts of red tape just to try and keep this guy off balance. And you know, if this man would succeed with all this interference that he ran against this man, then he was almost doing as good a job as if he had blocked him from buying the property in the first place. Because that's what Satan tries to do with us. He tries to make us, first of all, believe the lie that we would never accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you know, once we have become a believer, a child of God, then he has lost that battle forever. Just like the man buying the land. When he got that title, that was his. And there was nothing that antagonistic neighbor could do about it because he was now the owner. And then when we have accepted Christ as our Savior, then Satan has lost the big battle. And then after that, all that he can do after that is run interference, just like this neighbor did to the fellow that bought the property. And he'll want us to believe all these things, that God doesn't really care about us, and when we have problems, that God isn't going to help you through these things, and he'll really impose on us all these lies, hoping that at least even though we now believe in the Lord Jesus and we were children of God, that he'll stop us with any kind of growth that we may have in our lives that would glorify the Father in heaven. So we have to be careful then, so that we don't get too busy in our lives, that we miss that important inheritance that God has freely given us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can get too busy and miss this great blessing. Because we are freed from all condemnation. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37, we'll look at a couple of verses here. We'll look at verses 39 and 40. Psalm 37 and verses 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Boy, isn't that wonderful to be able to claim that promise. Now, if we take the plural out of those two verses and apply it to ourselves, right, then it would go something like this. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is my strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help me and deliver me. And he shall deliver me from the wicked and save them because I trust in him. And when we make it personal like that, that's a wonderful thing to be able to draw on that when we're being attacked by Satan. Because he'll never leave us alone. And that's why we need all these verses. Now, it's interesting that over this last 2 weeks, the primary class, their memory verse, which I thought was really good and fits right into our message tonight. If you just want to turn back to Psalm 34 and verse 4, we'll just read that one too. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Aye. So, you know, there are so many things in here for us that we can read and we can claim. We claim the promise that God will deliver us from these fears. And you know, I believe that the Lord knew how much we needed these verses because of that battle. And he knew that the sinless Son of God was going to have to be sacrificed for all of mankind, for every one of us, to provide atonement for our sin and to be the Savior of the world, that through him we could have that forgiveness of our sin and life in Christ. And you know that second part of that, the life in Christ is such an important thing, because our salvation contains that as well. It's not just the forgiveness of sin, it's the life in Christ that we have. Let's take a look in Romans. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. It says, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. No, because we, those of us who are born again, believers in Christ, we have experienced that great exchange of life. It's not just a change of life. You know, it's an exchange. We have exchanged the old life for the new life. Because, you know, we're not involved in a self-improvement program. It's not a reformation project. You know what the Bible calls it? Resurrection. It's a new life. It's resurrection. Jesus Christ, He identified Himself with us in that death so that we could be identified with Him in His resurrection. And that's a really important point, that sometimes we miss that. And we are accepted in Him. We as believers have been made totally complete in our Lord Jesus Christ. Totally. We were forgiven, and we have been redeemed, and we are spiritually alive, and we stand in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, totally accepted. That's it. We have been totally accepted in Him when we are a child of God. Now, we grow in His grace as we learn more about Him, but maturity is going to be when we are caught up to be with Him forever. And we'll get that new body to go along with our new spirit that we have, our new life. So, you know, the Lord has lots of building to do in us and through us and with us. And there's lots of rough edges to knock off, and some of them hurt, don't they? Some of those rough, boys, some of my rough edges were pretty tough coming off, you know. But we need that. So important. And I remember the first time we went to the Bill Gothard seminar, the Basic Life Principles seminar, he had kind of a neat idea. He had this little button, and all of us received one, and it had all these letters on it, and they were B, P, W, M, G, H, F, W, M, Y. And these were all the first letters of the words, which meant, be patient with me. God hasn't finished with me yet. That's a pretty neat idea, isn't it? You know, that's like a Christian under construction sort of a thing. And maybe we should all be wearing something like that, you know, because it just might help us that we'd be a little bit more tolerant to each other, a little bit more forgiving as things go along, because, like I just said, we were forgiven, redeemed, and made spiritually alive, and we are totally accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do and whatever our growth does for Him and for us doesn't change the fact that we are totally accepted. Isn't that awesome? Boy, it's just like when we're saved, there is just nothing that we can do towards that. Just absolutely and totally nothing. You just get on our knees and ask and accept that tremendous gift that He is ready to give to us. So Philippians 1:6 tells us, and this is Paul speaking here, being confident of this very thing, that He, that's God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's great, isn't it? He has guaranteed that He'll perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, He sees us there already, doesn't He? In that verse. We're already there. So God will never love you or accept you one iota more or one iota less than you are right now. Not one. So I find that these things are truly encouraging when we know that there is nothing of these things depend on us, that we are totally accepted in Him. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when I came from New Zealand, and I spent the required number of years here, and I fulfilled all the other requirements that the country needed from me, then I became a Canadian citizen. I took out Canadian citizens. If so, the laws and the statutes and those things that pertain to me in New Zealand, where I was born and grew up, no longer had any authority over me at all, because now I was a Canadian citizen. My citizenship on earth here is in Canada. I'm a Canadian citizen. So the things that pertain to me are the laws and the statutes that are written here in Canada. I'm no longer under any of that authority as previously. So, you know, I do have family and good memories and things like that from there, but I'm no longer under that authority. And that's the way it is. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a new citizenship. Ah, isn't that wonderful? Boy, you know, I really get excited about that. And it's just so simple to do. You know, I talked to my sister about these things. And you know, she says, that it's too easy. That there must be something else. And boy, isn't that a shame that these things that seem to be blocked from us. Well, it was blocked for me, not for, I didn't think about that. I was just too busy believing that. I believed the lie, because there was too many things that I felt were the good things in life that I wasn't ready to give up. I looked at it a little bit differently than my sister. My sister acknowledges that God is sovereign. She just doesn't feel that she needs him in her life. So, you know, what can I say? We can just keep praying for our families and our friends, and pray that through somebody or something, that the Holy Spirit will prompt them, that they would have this wonderful assurance that we have. Because it's ours and it's everybody's, if they would just ask the Lord Jesus Christ for it. He is ready. And he will give it to all of us. So you know, so when Satan comes along with his lies and his deceit, we can tell him that I'm a child of God. And if there is something in me that is bothering you, then you better take it up with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is now my Lord and my Savior and my Master. So if you have a problem with that, then you better take it up with him, because I no longer have any relationship with you at all. And that's the end of it. Because he governed us before we became born again believers. So we have to associate, just like we heard last week. It's that the total transformation from darkness to light, and the Lord Jesus Christ will give it to us. So we have a wonderful citizenship in Christ and in heaven, and we have a wonderful faith. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, when we look at these awesome truths that we find in your word, that we can apply to our lives, and that we can have this victory, the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ won over death and hell and Satan and sin. And we know that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, that these things are true for us. Oh, how we thank you for so great salvation. We thank you, our Father, that the Lord Jesus is so willing and took on so much for himself, and all because he loved us. So we pray, Father, as just this week ahead of us, that we will remember some of these verses, that we can recall them, and that we can have tremendous victories, or that others will see that we have something that is different, and we have something that we are only too willing to share, that they too, friends at work and people that we meet, that we might have an opportunity to share with them the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity that we have had to come together. We pray, dear Lord, you would take us to a home in safety, and that you would be the focus of our lives and that of our family. Accept of our thanks, we pray in Jesus' name.